If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Reality TV. I am really excited because there's quite a few things in the shallow and not so shallow end of the news that I want to talk about. But of course, I'll just mention right off the top that I'll be breaking down 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After and 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way today. But next week, get excited, get your DVRs ready because new seasons of Married at First Sight and Love After Lockup are coming on. I think what I'm going to do is rotate through those shows, kind of like I did last time when we had four or five different shows on. I'll pack as many as I can into this free episode you're listening to right now, but I'll rotate those through Patreon so I can keep them all covered. So check out Patreon in the show notes if you're interested in that. Thank you to my newest Patreon subscriber, Kristen. I'll get everything out to you guys. I know I am so far behind, but bear with me. I will get everything out to you guys as soon as possible. In very exciting news, not Will and Jada, because them and the stupid red table, they can just suck it because they're not Oprah. You guys, I found the shower curtain hooks that I had been missing since, last year, I believe. I think it was last summer. I bought these shower curtain hooks so I could hang curtains in my basement. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but listen, I found them, three sets of them, and they were in a storage bin, which of course now I kind of remember putting them in there. So I'm the biggest idiot on the face of the earth right now, but I found them and I think I'll be getting some store credit at TJ Maxx pretty damn soon because I'm certainly outside the return window. But thank you to all of you who were really on this amazing race. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego's shower curtain hooks journey with me? So thank you. They have been found and located. In other news, I mean, there's no way to transition this. Super sad news about Naya Rivera. I'm pretty certain by the time that I get this out to you, her body will have been found because I think they found someone in the lake. So sad. And I wake up this morning and I see that Kelly Preston died of breast cancer. The timing of it is really bizarre because I actually got my first mammogram this morning and I want to just take a moment to let you know it is not that bad. Some of you are lucky enough, are blessed enough to not be 40 yet. Those of us 40 and above are lucky to be here. But if you're afraid of getting one, literally calm your tits because it's nothing. I'm not exaggerating at all when I say stubbing your toe or hitting your funny bone is like 10 times more painful. So I think we got to just save our horror stories for anyone who's afraid to get them, because I guarantee every woman and man have worn a more uncomfortable pair of shoes or a bra that was more uncomfortable than going to get a mammogram. But what else? Oh, okay. Two big things. First of all, Thomas Ravenel, that piece of shit from Southern Charm, he fathered another baby. This time he impregnated a nurse that he briefly dated. I don't even watch Southern Charm, and somehow I know how disgusting this guy is. So ladies, let's use this as the last red flag of 2020 to do better. We can all do better. Higher your standards. What the hell is going on that this guy is having multiple babies with multiple women? Now, Britney Spears, Britney's former photographer, made a series of TikTok videos about this letter that Britney supposedly wrote him. But the thing is, she wrote it in third person. Now, I don't know whether she wrote it or she didn't. I tend to believe she did. Who's to say? But in the letter, she is saying Britney is being manipulated and controlled by her conservators. Kevin was in Las Vegas and Brittany went after him and she shouldn't have. And yes, she had a nervous breakdown and she went through a lot of things. Her kids were taken away. And when questioned why it was written in third person, this photographer friend, former photographer friend who is no longer in contact with her, he said it's because she explicitly told him, I want you to pass this on. I want you to read this to people. And the reason that he didn't pass it on or make it public before was because he was under an NDA. Now, I really, really hope that someone is looking out for her, whether it is her conservators that have her best interest at heart, friends, family, the public, whoever it is, something's going on. Something needs to be done because that was a TikTok or Instagram video that she made where she had the bouquet of flowers and she came in from like the left and had a little thing. It was like, these are the flowers from my florist. Did I say photographer? Oh, Jesus. No, I'm starting to feel crazy. Anyhow, she's walking back and forth in front of this camera and posing for no reason whatsoever. And it seems to me that she's just stuck in this arrested development, or she's stuck in this time warp where she's 17. She's dressing like she used to dress then. Even the styles, like the little tight puka shell necklace, or maybe I'm the one that's just out of style, out of, oh God, my niece taught me this new phrase, drip. I don't have any drip. It's supposed to be like you're dripping in fashion, but it's used in a good way. Like you have drip. Or I am dripping. All right, whatever it is, I'm concerned about Brittany. We're all concerned for her. And I hope that maybe this letter can be passed on to someone and they can do like a handwriting analysis. Some true crime stuff here. Oh, you know what I've been really getting into? I wasn't even going to talk about this, but hey, it's my show and I can talk about it. I've really been diving back into my family's family tree, my side, Dave's side, mostly Dave's side because I'm 100% Polish and I could only get so many records. But Dave's family goes really way far back, like pre-Revolutionary War, whatever. And my whole interest in that was reignited because I've been watching The Genetic Detective, and the way she goes into ancestry is, oh God, dream job. I need to do something with that because I could just spend hours and hours on ancestry, not even doing my own family tree, anyone else's. Once I finish Dave's side, I will be more than happy to take yours on. You don't even have to pay me. I just love that shit. If you guys haven't gotten into your own, I highly encourage you, get a subscription to Ancestry, dive right in. It is so freaking addicting. And it's probably a healthier addiction than TikTok because I'm absolutely addicted to that. I had to make my kids take my phone away from me today because I could not stop freaking watching it. It's terrible. All right, let's get a little business out of the way. Patreon this week, Amanda and I are due for our crossover. We'll be breaking down episode 3 of Family Marriage Bootcamp, Family Bootcamp, the one with Amber Portwood and Brandy Glanville. We're on episode 3 and things are just heating up. It's going to be hilarious. On Total Request Podcast, now last week we had two amazing shows. We recapped Hamilton, which was like a 2.5-hour episode. So if you're into Hamilton, check that out because we fangirled over it. We also covered It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the Nightman Cometh episode. You gotta pay the troll toll. And this week, we are going to cover Smash with a very special guest, Nick Kachanov. And we're going for a real throwback here. Hold on to your little Jack Russell Terrier. The MTV Cribs Mariah Carey episode. I bet you're thinking of her in the bathtub with her dog right now, right? Yeah, well, we'll be covering that. So check that out at patreon.com/trpod. And now it's time just to jump right into 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. Of course, I gotta start with Colt and Jess and Debbie. Why must Colt up that creep vibe every single week? The way he was folding and packing his clothes in this slow, methodical manner, like a goddamn serial killer, it was freaking creepy. He would take a shirt, put it in a suitcase, pat, pat on top, and then he took out the black New Balance dad shoes. You know, the ones that he probably wears while he tiptoes through people's backyards and stares at him through the window. I mean, forget the condom. You guys, those are the best form of contraception we have on the market. Well, of course, the shoes and having Debbie as a third wheel, you know, a cat hoarding mom that's with you all the time. Debbie sucks for so many reasons, of which we absolutely confirm later, but she sucks for inviting herself on this trip. She thinks she's entitled to be a part of her son's relationships, and she sucks because she created Colt. She made Colt the man that he is today. And I don't think I'm that out of line to ask this question. Let me know in the comments. Do you think Colt and Debbie made it into the Mile High Club? I'm just asking because I am pretty sure we know Colt was, at minimum, resting his giant head in Debbie's bosom the entire flight. Do not try to convince yourselves otherwise. Now, once they land in Brazil, I think Debbie's bitch flag was really starting to, you know, rise up on the flagpole. Did you notice that she did not even extend her hand to introduce herself to Jess? She just stood there and had Colt say, "This is my mother," and push up his glasses. I mean, Jess didn't say, "Hi, nice to meet you," either. But she's the one who's already being put out on her own vacation time because Debbie invited herself. Debbie can't say, "Hi, I'm Debbie. Nice to meet you. Thanks for schlepping me around Brazil for the next week." In short, Jess was being a complete weirdo, totally out of line, telling Debbie she needs to have sex with her son immediately and getting all kissy with him with their weird, loud kissing, Jesus fucking Christ. But Debbie, she really should consider herself a very lucky woman to have met not one but two women who even want to be with her gross, dorky son. Now, Debbie bitching and moaning, coming up with this very spontaneous Stephanie illness. Remember Stephanie with her sometimes she needs a mask, sometimes she doesn't? Suddenly Debbie's got something that is spurred on by sitting in the back of a minivan, and she needs to go lay down immediately. You know what a real good fix is for being tired and jet lagged, Deb? Not traveling to Brazil with your little old man boy son. Now, before we get to the rest of the trip, we hop over and we meet up with Larissa and her fake boyfriend, ex-boyfriend Eric, who's pretending like he's into her and that he's playing hard to get. I'm not even going to give it to the time of day because it's just so fucking ridiculous. So let's get back to Three's company. The three of them check into this kind of weird hotel hostel kind of place. And we learn that Colt only reserved one room. Call me a skeptic, a pessimist, I don't care, because I don't believe for a second that Colt did not know the layout of this place. Between TripAdvisor, you know, Yelp, he's going to know what the layout of that place is. He loves being in the middle, you know, pulled from either direction by the women who love him. Now, throw in the fact that Debbie requires a freaking exorcism at this point because she's a little sleepy. She's got the grumpies. And Jess is standing there like the little Tweety bird that she is, getting a crash course in Colt's family dysfunction junction. The shit she was spewing in that elevator. She was raising hell in there about how tired she is and that she's almost 70 years old, which, wow. My mom is nearing 80 and she looks incredible next to Deb. And I'm only saying that now because now I just think she's a bitch. And Jess is ditzy. She should not have gone in that room next to Debbie and asked her if she wanted to go sightseeing and all that bullshit. But at least she was trying to be positive. What does Colt do? Nothing. He just says, "It's not you, Jess." Okay, but could you say, "Yeah, it is my mom"? Like, he definitely parses words. He knows exactly what he's doing, which is why he ran his ass to get in the shower so he could have Jess shower with him. Ugh. I hope to God that Jess just walks right out of that hotel, leaves Colt there in a cold shower. It's probably not going to happen. But I at least hope that she demands that they get a separate room because that's just bullshit, whatever he pulled there. Now, Elizabeth and Andre, oh man. Elizabeth didn't see this coming. I mean, Really, you guys, did any of us see this Moldovan Express turning out to be chauvinistic? It's shocking, right? We've always seen Andre be so progressive, a real progressive thinker, quick to call out sexism at every turn. Pretty sure I saw him leading the women's march on the front lines, right? I mean, God, poor Lib. How's she gonna deal with this news? I bet she was just desperate to get out of there on the first flight, right? Oh, wait. What did she actually do? That was full sarcasm, in case you didn't catch that hatred in my voice. Libby, she's just sitting there adding sugar to her tea while her father-in-law fed her baby. Now, what Andre said was absolutely stupid and ignorant, but bitch told us when we met her. Remember that rainy day hike picture of hers that we saw for an entire season? Every time she would talk about him, we saw that picture and she would explain to us how he wants a traditional housewife. And as a matter of fact, I vividly remember Andre telling Elizabeth's entire family, or was all her sisters and her mom, over a basket of chips and salsa that he wants a traditional housewife. Libby married him not once, but she's choosing to marry him a second time. So why is she complaining? This is no surprise to anyone. I think I just said surprise. Oh, speaking of language difficulties, let's talk about this. Elizabeth may get the gist of the Moldovan language, maybe understand more than she can speak, but the nuances with the subtitles that were translated for us prove Andre bends the truth with his language in his favor all the time. But Libby does the exact same thing, doesn't she? She says one thing to Andre, she says one thing to her family, and then tells one another a totally different story. So Andre's a chauvinistic ass, but Elizabeth is a liar. So I guess it's a match made in heaven. All right, Kalani and Asuelu. I'm like really pissed off about everyone. Jesus, who else are we talking about? Oh God, Paul and Angela. Oh Jesus, and Sinjin and Tanya. I better pace myself. All right, Kalani and Asuelu. I have some really bad news. May want to sit down for this one. Asuelu and I have chosen to go separate ways. Mine is the don't act like a pissy little five-year-old way, and Asuelu's is the I don't want to be a big boy way. That little Caillou bitch was in his room playing video games. And why? Because he's too afraid to apologize to his own wife. What does he do when he has a problem? He high-knees it out of there just like Forrest Gump, and then he has the gall to call Kalani. She's driving around town doing the Amazing Race trying to find him. What the hell? She's sick. She's got no voice. She's got young kids who she's still breastfeeding, and now she's got to go chase down a grown adult. Beats me why she didn't make him figure it out on his own. I mean, if he's such a macho man from Samoa, head of household, I'm man, then go figure it out, big boy. You know, interesting how he's so prideful and he's not going to apologize to Kalani, but as soon as her dad comes calling, who I am fully 1000% attracted to, by the way, I didn't think I had a type until I saw him, and I don't know if he scares me or turns me on. Either way, I'll take it. But listen, Asuelu was not going to pull any bullshit with him, and he was so freaking embarrassed to walk outside because all eyes were on him during that party. I could feel it, you could feel it. He doesn't have a lot of things going on in his head, but he knew with his eyeballs at least that people were watching him. But he's never, ever going to admit to anyone except Kalani's dad that he felt like a turd and that he did the wrong thing. And he should feel like a turd. He should feel like shit because he was acting like a child. I don't know if he is developmentally behind or a low IQ, and I'm not trying to say that as an insult, but there's absolutely a gap in maturity between how Asuelu was acting and his chronological age. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of another person who has this exact same issue, Paul. I'm going to need Paul to back the fuck up, because the way he was hovering over Karini when she was changing that diaper and feeding her baby, I have an issue with that. He was trying to intimidate her and get in her space, and that is not okay. You know, Karini may not have a car full of mildew and rotting food, But she knows how to keep her baby alive, Paul, so get the fuck out of her face and get out of her space. Ugh, Paul is such an experienced manipulator. He's been doing this for his whole life, you can just tell. And now he's got Karini in his web. But when she has these moments of clarity where she can see things clearly, that's when Paul throws a temper tantrum and he runs across the street or runs out the door or up a hill or into a stream. You know, he's leaning over Karini, twisting her words because all she's saying is that she's disappointed that she doesn't have a place to live or a clean car to drive in. So needy, this Karini, right? I mean, her standards are so high for Paul. He tries to twist her disappointment in the things that I'm 100% positive he promised to her into, you don't understand what America's like. Karini's just from Brazil. She doesn't know. No, bullshit. Because then we see Paul walk into this restaurant, which looks delicious. God, remember when we can go out and eat at restaurants? Anyhow, he meets his mom and he tells his mom that Karini didn't come because she had to use the bathroom. But since Mother Paul didn't give him the key, she was all upset. A bullshit. Roll the freaking tape. I mean, the grandiose sense of entitlement Paul has and zero personal accountability that he has in this episode is off the charts. Particularly during this dinner scene, I think Paul stepped into, hear me out, because I know this is a drastic step to take here, Paul stepped into Lita territory. Because I took a direct quote from Paul as he was sucking on those kebabs at dinner. I mean, don't we wish he worked a job as hard as he was working on those things? He says, and I quote, "I personally don't want to ask you for any help, but what I'm saying is, would you be willing to step in and help?" Word for word transcription. That motherfucker. I mean, he thinks his mom is the asshole and selfish for not raising and supporting his own family. But thank God and Oprah and Justice Bader Ginsburg, his mom says no. This woman, she's got, forget balls, okay? Wherever Mother Paul bought her pair of stainless steel tits, I'm there because goddammit, she persisted and I salute her. And you know what rhymes with resist, by the way? Fist. And that is exactly what Paul needs up his ass and in his face, because the way he was embarrassing Karini in the store was absolutely unacceptable. Which pads or tampons you want, Karini? Heavy flow tampon? You want the pearls, Karini? You know what? I'll ask the pharmacist about your flow and then I'll come find you, but not by the wings, because you don't like the wings, do you, Karini? No wings, right? Just the thick ones, the overnights. Are you fucking serious, Paul? You don't want us to talk about your car, but it's fine to talk about Karini's period habits? Fuck you, man. He is so condescending. And let's talk about this comment from last week that you lived in a wooden hut. Don't you think a wooden hut would have been 10 times better than that trailer or whatever the hell Paul brought Karini to? At least a wooden hut would have a floor and a roof. What the hell did he think he was doing bringing his wife and baby into that dilapidated trailer? You know who lived there and who's going to live there? Future Paul. A hoarder. A hoarder who somehow sees past a lack of walls and then dares to ask, does this have air conditioning? Yeah. Yeah, Paul. There's no walls on two sides of this, but it's got central air. Fuck him, man. I would just say let him sleep on the street if it weren't for Karini and the baby. Hopefully Mother Paul brings Karini and the baby in and tells Paul to go sleep, I don't know, in his disgusting car. And then she gets a plane back to Brazil, but I don't think that's accurate because, like I said, one of you in the Facebook group have boots on the ground, eyes on the Paul family, and they're still currently here. Okay, let's talk about Angela and Michael. Angela is leaving for Nigeria, so she packs everything, including her wedding dress and a half-eaten bag of chips. Yes, I spied with my snarky eye a half-eaten bag of Lay's potato chips, although I was corrected on Twitter. It might be original flavor Bugles. Anyhow, she packs chips, you guys. And if you're thinking, come on, Jody, maybe she just bought a bag of chips, ate half of them as a snack on the way to the airport. Well, to that I say, she's even grosser because that makes her a Paul. She's going to leave open food in a car for weeks on end while she's gone in Africa. Oh, and you think Angela's too classy for that even? Well, maybe you're right because Miss Moneybags had her fucking wallet keychained to her fun bags. She had a purse, a carry-on, a passport necklace, yet no other place for that little wallet to go than hooked onto her bra, her 18-hour bra, with a metal chain. I don't even want to know what or where else she's packing anything. Or maybe on second thought, she does want to pack her shit away because if there's freaking rats running around that apartment, ugh, I cannot deal with anything smaller than, I'm going to say, a small dog. That's a no for me. No birds, no bugs, no mice, no guinea pigs, gerbils, chickens. All of those things are a big no to me. Small creatures have vicious intentions. It is in their blood or their whatever cold-blooded. Well, I guess they have blood. I'm just telling you, anything smaller than a small dog, you got to be careful with them. And that includes cats. Sorry, cat people, but cats can be some real nasty bitches. Or maybe I've just had bad experiences. Oh, you know who make a really good cat? Tanya, because she's a bitch too. But before I get into that, have we touched on the fact that Tanya is from Colchester, Connecticut, and St. John's last name is Colchester? It's kind of creepy. And maybe her voodoo priestess degree really is worth something. I certainly hope so, because it's not looking good for Tanya these days. I mean, her foot's jacked up. We have St. John, who's tired of living here, tired of her, and their rent is due. Neither of them are working. So in the great words of Michael Gary Scott, good luck paying for that on your $0 a year plus benefits, babe. Now, I don't want to break any hearts here, but as a professional matchmaker, love expert like I am, I'm just going to say I don't think these two are, shall I say, compatible. I know, huge, shocking surprise. Now, here's the thing. I think they were compatible when Tanya was South Africa Tanya or Australia Tanya, wherever the hell they met. You know, he has always loved adventure and he's wanted to travel the world. And while Tanya was traveling the world, saying that she loves to travel the world and wants to continue to do it, they met so they would seem compatible. She tells him, hey, come here. I have a job. And then after you get here, we can get married. We'll move to Florida for more opportunities. But then none of that happens. Why doesn't it happen? Of course, she broke her foot, but also Tanya's a stubborn narcissist. And guess what? The one thing they are compatible on is that St. John is a stubborn narcissist too. So in that case, that is the one thing they have in common. That's not a great foundation for a relationship. I don't see these two lasting. And if they do, they'll come across like they're a super happy couple. They've worked through all their issues when they do a tell-all or a reunion. But they are going to be miserable. They should part ways before they have children because I don't think he wants kids at all. And she desperately wants them. And if she wants them that badly, then go ahead and have them. You don't necessarily have to have a partner. Does it make it easier? Of course. But she shouldn't just wrangle him in this because that's just what she wants when he clearly doesn't want to be with her. Okay, before I wrap things up, I want to put this little nugget in your head. I want you to look for it next week. St. John's tongue, has it grown too large for his mouth? There is something going on with his teeth and his tongue that he can barely speak. And I don't want to go to WebMD because then I'm going to start, you know, looking for different symptoms that I have myself and diagnose myself with something. But look into that. I don't know if it's a sign of alcoholism, drug use, being around Tanya. Maybe she's poisoning him with her marigolds and shit like that. Keep an eye out for it. And in the meantime, take a quick breather, and I'll be right back with 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. I have some really exciting news to share with you, and no, I'm not going to talk about Cody Rigsby on my Peloton again because I know you're tired of hearing it, although I do think Cody would dig what I'm about to tell you. You know how I've been taking my Ritual multivitamins religiously, or ritually, if you will, and it's something I do for myself to kind of top off my tank. I take 2 in the morning before my intermittent fasting window is up, and what I love is that it doesn't sour my stomach. I've had issues with vitamins, multivitamins, prenatal vitamins, since before I was pregnant, because most of the time your omega-3s are coming from fish oil, but Ritual is different because their omega-3 DHA comes from microalgae, which makes it vegan too. Extra perk there. Well, now Ritual is helping men kind of level up their nutrient goals with Essential for Men 18 Plus. I've been crossing my fingers they were going to make an Essential for Men, and they made it happen. So yes, Dave and I are taking our Ritual together every morning. It's our own little together time. Oh, isn't that cute? Seriously though, not all vitamins and supplements are created equal, which is why I love Ritual. I'm a subscriber on my own. I'll keep subscribing to them till the end of time because I love Ritual. They don't pack a whole bunch of vitamins and supplements into their vitamins because they know our bodies don't need it. Ritual believes in food first. Our food provides us with mostly what we need, but there are gaps in our diet. Iron is one of those for women, for example. The new Essential for Men includes different dosages and vitamins than the Essential for Women because men's diets and lifestyles are different. Through research, Ritual found men deficient in vitamin A, so they sourced a vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, allergen-free source in Switzerland. And here's the thing, if your partner is like mine, he's not really reading labels and stocking your pantry or medicine cabinet. You know, that's all up to me, so I just went ahead and bundled my monthly delivery to include my Ritual and an Essential for Men for Dave. Ritual makes it simple to bundle, save on your shipping, and you can use the promo code I'm giving you to save even more. $1 a day to have all the essential nutrients your body needs right to your door when you want it. Snooze or cancel anytime, no strings attached. Better health doesn't happen overnight, and right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in those gaps in your diet with Essential for Women or Men, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/realityTV to start your Ritual today. I'll make it easy for you. Link is in the show notes. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/realityTV. All right, I'm going to jump right in and start with Kenneth and Armando this week. You know, I really wish we were getting more of these two, but on the other hand, if we are not seeing a lot of them, that means they don't have a whole lot of drama, and that is good because I don't know one person who is not rooting and fully in love with Kenneth and Armando, especially when we find out that Armando is a little crafter. I mean, sure, his little project was with Arial font and some not fade-resisting construction paper, but it was super cute. Just wait till that little Hannah sees her dos papas that she's been dreaming of and a new little puppy. She's going to be, well, I guess almost as happy as I'm going to be when I see these two finally in each other's arms. Now, on the other side of the coin and other side of the planet, Jenny and Sumit. Jenny's trying a different angle this week to light a fire under Sumit's ass. She's going to get Sumit's friend Neeraj on her side, which is not a bad way to work in this scenario, to be honest, because, well, Sumit's not being honest with her, and she's got a relationship with Neeraj. The thing about Neeraj, however, is that he may not be the most honest guy himself because he got close with Jenny the last time she lived there, but she had no idea that he himself was going through a divorce that could go on for years. He lied to Jenny for the months that she was there, saying he didn't know anything about Sumit being married. He acted like Sumit was just a single guy, and yeah, he had those issues with his parents, but oh, he's so happy for these two. But I have to give him credit because he did say at least the right thing in the moment. He told Sumit that Jenny is correct. She needs to see the divorce papers, and Sumit owes that to her. I would love to get inside Neeraj's brain, though, because he definitely knows way more about Sumit than he's sharing, because they shared kind of a knowing glance with each other on that boat. Oh, God, let's talk about that little pedal boat thing. I'm convinced somewhere in some past life that I've had, I had a pedal boat. Is that what you call it? Pedal boat, whatever. I obviously blacked it out even in my current lifetime. I had to have been dumped off of one of them because those things terrify me. I would rather be on a jet ski than one of those. And jet skis to me are the same thing as skydiving. I don't like being on any sort of open water, something that I'm flying on above water. I don't like not knowing what is underneath me. Underwater, there could be fish and dirty sand and garbage. I don't want to go anywhere near it. I like the land. I like my feet on the land. Although I love the idea of like a party boat, a pontoon boat, but I don't trust anyone in my life personally that I know, even people that I love dearly, to, what's the word, commandeer, captain a boat. I would hire a professional because if I go overboard, I mean, I know the people in my life, they love me, but I think they would probably laugh at me. They would get out all their laughs out on me trying to get back to the boat just as payback for all the times that I laughed at them as they tripped and fell and I pointed and laughed. Okay, let's just move on from here and talk about Devin and Jihoon. All right, so picking up where we left off last week, Devin is pulling out all these secrets from Jihoon that he's been keeping. And she finds out that he not only has been working part-time, actually, you know what? All right, let's keep count of all the different deceptions that he has. So he's been working part-time. He makes $2,000 to $3,000 on a good month. He can't manage his own money, so he's got mommy doing it for him. But I mean, at least he's got someone doing it because he knows he needs it. But I'm not going to give him a pass on that because number 4, in the time that he's been giving money to his mom, he's only saved $3,000 for a house, which means, where am I? Number 5, he's lied to Devin all these months about not being able to send her money. So she's been doing it all on her own. He's been sending nothing, but he has had money to give his mom. Just layers and layers on lies. But let's go back to that part-time job. Why is it that Jihoon can only work a few hours a week? Well, it's because he wants to be able to rest when he wants to rest. Must be nice. That is the worst thing you can say to the mother of your very young baby. He just does all the things that liars do. They apologize after they already messed up. You know, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I was wrong. You know what? You were right. I was wrong. I'm so sorry. But that doesn't erase everything that's already happened. It almost puts the person who you have lied to in a really awkward spot because if they are not just over it, like the liar is, then they're the one that's holding a grudge and saying, I don't forgive you yet. But they're the ones that really got fucked over. That's just such a shitty thing to do when you lie to someone and say, oh, you know what? You were right. I was wrong. Let's just move past this. No, Jihoon, it's way, way deeper than that. She's there across the world with her 2 kids and her mom. She's going to need a lot more than, and I'm sorry. All right, moving along to Yazin and Brittany. Wow. I mean, the previews for this episode, we knew it was going to be explosive, but this was, on a visceral level, very uncomfortable to watch. Brittany, I think you have enough time on your hands to maybe look into what life in Jordan is like to begin with, because the time that she spent putting on those stupid, huge, fake spider lashes, she absolutely had the time before she got there to research the customs. Now, Yazin was a screaming territorial monster to her, but she couldn't be bothered to think about what she was walking and moving into when she was agreeing to marry a Muslim man. She knows she's moving to a conservative country. It's not like she is some female leader that's going to go talk with all the leaders of the Muslim faith, Islamic faith. Okay, school me here. Anyhow, you know, she can't go in there as a young woman with braces and think she's going to topple over this patriarchal system. Just as foolish, we have Yazin, who shows up at the hotel with flowers. And Brittany says that this is Yazin, this is a quote, crawling back with his tail between his legs when he says, "You cannot act the way you do because I jealous. You cannot wear this because I so jealous." Brittany, that is not crawling back. That's Yazin trying to make things disappear, kind of like Jihoon. He's just trying to gloss over everything that happened, forget everything that happened at the airport, while also telling you that it's time to change who you are. Brittany. She does not realize that she may very well have to change if she's living in Jordan. She's just that foolish and maybe entitled to think that everyone's just going to conform to her way of life when she's moving into their country. Now, I'm not saying I am an advocate of changing who you are for anyone. Do not change who you are for any man, woman, whoever in your life that doesn't approve of you. But she's marrying a very open, a very honest about it, devout Muslim man. If she thinks smiling and making her braces twinkle in the moonlight is going to change his mind, then it's hard to feel badly for her, right? And let's remember, Brittany is still hiding or lying about that legally binding marriage that she's still in. She just forgets all about that herself.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, now going into this next explosive part of the episode, I want to be clear that I don't love the idea of women being suppressed or put into subservient roles in any way. But again, Brittany knew this about Yazin's culture. Both she and Yazin thought the same thing about each other. They both thought that they could change the other one. Now, that sit down in the parents' living room was a lot, even for 90 Day Fiancé standards. Brittany was kind of being snotty. I mean, her body language and the stink face, but his family really went in on her. I understand that it's a conservative culture in any mother or father seeing their son or daughter being treated the way that Brittany was treating Yazin in that situation to them is alarming and so out of the norm that I'm sure it caused them to overreact. I still think Father Yazin can get it. He's very sexy to me, but I can't imagine that down the road, they would have accepted Brittany, totally accepted her for who she is, even if she converted religions. And on a totally, well, I guess more important aspect of this situation, I don't even see a sexual spark between Yazin and Brittany. So I can't imagine the great times that they say they've had because they both speak to each other in a monotone voice, unless they're yelling at each other. And even then, they just repeat the same few words. There's just nothing there between them. I've tried to, sounds really creepy, I've tried to like picture them together and I just don't see it. I don't know. She's just got to get on the next flight and get the hell out of there because it's not going to end well for either of them if they carry on whatever sort of relationship they have with each other over there. All right, I saved the best or worst, depending on how you look at it, for the last. Ariella in Binyam, a.k.a. Baby. To quote the new Oprah, a.k.a. Janice, "I am not a snob, but..." That's going to be my new precursor to basically everything I say from now on. I'm not a snob, but I agree with Janice that Binyam's place in Ethiopia is not ideal for a newborn. Do people do it who live there? Of course, but we need to be honest with ourselves. If we are given the opportunity to live in a safer, cleaner, nicer, healthier conditions with your child, for your child, I think anyone would say yes. I'm not saying the only place or the best place ever is where she lived, Jersey or the United States, but it's a better, hygienically speaking, a better situation than Binyam is made available to Ariella. Speaking of Ariella, I mean, she seems like she got a great education and she has a very supportive family and she's given opportunities most of us would love to have, yet she makes some really weird decisions. Why doesn't she see what a lot of us are seeing? And that's not even in regards to the apartments. Yelling at a man across the street in a strange country and telling him, I want your phone number, then proceeding to get pregnant by said man after only a few months, falling on a bed with a man and getting pregnant, then deciding to move to a country that you don't know much about, giving birth there, all while knowing he's done this exact same thing with another American woman. There's no red flags that Ariella sees. Do you see what I'm getting at? She seems like she is a smart woman, yet her decision-making process or the speed at which she is processing what is going on doesn't seem up to par with at least Janice's. Now, I'm still stuck on the fact that she slept in that bed, you guys. You can smell the dirty, mildewy sheets, and I'm not even going to step foot or sentence into that disgusting bathroom. And again, I am not a snob, but think about this. Her mom had a toilet with a seat on it at her hotel. So why did she stay over there, I guess, to sleep with Binyam? But please, if you're going to tell me I have to hover my ass over a barrel while I'm 8 months pregnant, I'm not sleeping there. I'm going back to sleep with Janice. I'll sleep with Janice now. I don't even know her and I'm not pregnant. And I would gladly share a double bed with her. Weird that Ariella couldn't help make her own bed though. Did you catch that? Binyam's over there probably already sweating his ass off because he knows he's got to show her the other shitty apartment later that day. He's making the bed. He's like, hey, you want to come help me? And she goes, I can't even care for myself. What is that supposed to mean? She can't help make a bed because she's pregnant? Really? She's one of those, I'm the first pregnant person on earth, so my mommy and daddy have to care for me even though I'm, how old is she? I wrote this down at some point, 28. You can make a bed. Get the hell over there, this chick. Okay, let's just get to the second apartment because, again, the things she sees and doesn't see. Or you know what? Maybe she just keeps quiet so that her mom can be the bad guy and mommy can speak up for me. Ooh, I bet you that's what it is. So the second apartment, in my opinion, was actually way better than the first one. It had potential. If you think about it, actually think about it like House Hunters, right? House number one is finished, but it needs a facelift. House number two is a clean slate, doesn't have any floors, but you can finish it how you want it. I would bank on house number two if it were me and hope that mom and pops, Janice and father Ariella can, I don't know, take out a construction loan or some shit because they are in a very tough spot. If it were me, again, I mean, it's easier said than done when I'm not engaged to baby. But I would fly back to the United States and be like, I'm sorry, man. If I had to wash my ass in a barrel, I don't want to know what's going to happen if my water breaks or I'm not going to get into the process of labor. But really, she should come here, give birth, then go move back there and he can finish the apartment. That second apartment, I'd rather live with cement powder all over the floor than that first one. Because at least I know cement powder hasn't been under someone else's feet or between someone's toes while they're hovering over the toilet. I am not a snob, but I just like a clean bathroom. All right. Well, hopefully you liked this episode. Not that I'm likening my podcast to that shitty toilet, and hopefully you don't either. Remember, check the show notes, check out my sponsor this week, Ritual, all the links in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me through all this craziness. I love you. I adore you. Stay healthy, wear a damn mask, and stay salty.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.